All righty, thank you. If you could find your way to a seat. Once again, we want to make sure that, as the screen says, we want to wish a happy Father's Day to all of the dads. I had an extra special treat this week. Was able to get away for a few days, and what made it super special for me is I got to have my son Hans with me for 3 or 4 days, and. That was the icing on the cake for me. No. No. Listen, I am so much looking forward to tomorrow morning. Most of you probably know I go through McDonald's drive-thru to get one coffee a day. I cannot wait tomorrow morning to be able to say to the girls, may I please have the senior cup of coffee? Yeah, baby. I have paid my dues. It's time for that cheap coffee now, if you know what I'm saying. They don't have senior anymore? Ah. Oh. I'm going to find some place that does, I can tell you that. Just can't wait. So anyways, having said all that, if you would turn to Matthew chapter 6 in your Bibles, if you have them with you. I'd like us to read corporately once again the Lord's Prayer this morning. We're doing a series that we've entitled Building a House of Prayer. And we're looking at the Lord's Prayer in detail. So I'd like us to start out by reading it together. When the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, in verse 9, it says, this then is how you should pray. And if we could please say it together. I'm reading from the NIV. And by the way, I know there's debate and, you know, that last part of the Lord's Prayer that we've got by memory, for thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power and all that. I know that, especially in the NIV, is not there. But if you look down in your, at least in my Bible, in the notes below that, you'll say some of the earlier manuscripts say those words. I would like us to say those words together because, I don't know, I believe it was in there. So, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That prayer... is a mouthful. And what I mean by that is that, you know, we have, most people have, even people who aren't regular followers of God, a lot of them know the Lord's Prayer from just hearing it along the way. And a lot of people, I think, when they say those words, they don't really cognitively or consciously, they're not aware of what they're actually praying. And so we've been looking at, you know, what is it that we're saying? What is it that we're praying when we pray the Lord's Prayer? And we've been likening it to the rooms of a house. Remember the very first week I talked to you about how Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer, when in reference to the temple. But if you really understand what Scripture is saying, especially on this side of the cross, we are now God's temple. We are now his houses. And subsequently, we could look at ourselves and see ourselves as those houses of prayer. So we've been looking at this layout, a typical Mediterranean look of a house with a courtyard and whatnot and all the various rooms on the outside of it. We've been looking at this house of prayer and looking at each portion of the Lord's Prayer in terms of rooms that he calls us into to spend time looking at a particular aspect of our relationship with him. So far we've been looking at four different rooms. We've looked at the family room, which had to do with the phrase, Our Father. We've looked at the praise room or adoration room, which has to do with the phrase, Hallowed be thy name. We've looked at what we're calling the declaration room, and we looked at the phrase, Your kingdom come. And then last week, we looked at what we're calling the surrender room, and that's where we pray, Your will be done. This morning, we're going to look at the next room in the sequence of things here, and this morning, we're calling it the provision room. You could call it the kitchen if you were looking at it in terms of a house. And it's based on the phrase, give us, here it is right here, give us this day our daily bread. I was so excited when, coincidentally, this phrase fell on Father's Day. And you'll see why. I'll make that hopefully abundantly clear in just a moment. But before we look at our phrase this week, or the room that we're entering this week, I have to go back with you to last week. Because this week, remember I told you last week there's a door that connects the room between your kingdom come and your will be done? I'd like to suggest, and the more I'm looking at this thing, it's like there's a door between each of these rooms. But there is a door between the room of your will be done and give us this day our daily bread. Because this is really critical that we understand this. Before we get to the point of asking for stuff, we need to settle the issue of, I want what you want. That's my heart. God, I want what you want. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Once we settle that issue in our lives, that we really want what he wants for us, then we are free to, if you will, ask for anything. That's right. I'm getting to that. Kurt, hold on just a second. The way I understand this is that once you have settled in your heart, really settled, and we've come to grips with wanting God's will for our lives, once you have joyfully accepted that, then you are free to proceed ahead and ask for anything in his name. There's a couple of verses I want to reacquaint you with here this morning. In Mark chapter 11, verse 24, it says, this is Jesus again speaking to his disciples. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Now, here's the problem. And I think what happened at some points along the church's journey is that we took the verses like this or this verse, and we said, this is a license for me to ask God for anything I want. But listen. If you've already spent time in the room, in the surrender room, you come out of that room saying what we sang this morning, which was, Lord, I don't want anything but you. Right? When we spend time with him settling that issue, it's not like our hearts to say, I want all this stuff over here and I want it now. Because we're saying, God, I want whatever it is you want for my life. Jesus taught time after time that this Father of ours is not an aloof Father. He's not a distant Father. He's not a Father who says, you stay over here, I'm over here, and that'll be fine. That whole thing of keeping you apart from me. He is not a Father who doesn't want to be bothered. Instead, he is a Father who is saying to us, come and ask me. I want you to come and ask for whatever your needs are. In fact, Kurt here in the front row just mentioned this verse a moment ago. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For whoever asks receives, and whoever seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. It's clear from these verses that we're not talking about a father who wants us to, you know, sit over there and shut up and don't say anything. He wants us to draw near to him. In fact, the context of the phrase we're looking at this morning, give us this day our daily bread, is in the context of the first phrase, our Father. So what that tells me is that Jesus is wanting to remind us that we are children. And as children, children go to their father to ask them for stuff, right? Isn't that what kids do? Can daddy, can I have this? Daddy, can I have that? Children go to their father and ask for things. And Jesus is, in essence, saying, you've got a father, you've got a dad who wants you to come and ask for stuff. They'll get it. They will get it. We'll keep going here and they'll get it, I promise. In fact, Jesus, in that same very passage in Matthew chapter 7, he goes on to say, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, we'll give him a snake. If you then, though you are evil, meaning we're fallen, sinful human beings, if we know what it's like or how it is to give good gifts to our children, then how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Children by nature ask for things, a lot of stuff, and then some more stuff, right? And sometimes, I want you to hear this, sometimes children ask for things that aren't good for them, right? Sometimes we ask for stuff that God knows isn't good for us. Why would a good father, right? Why would a perfect father, a great father that we sang about this morning, why would he give us something that's not good for us? Last week I talked to you about a 6-year-old boy that had fallen upon an inheritance worth $1 million. What if that same 6-year-old boy came to the father and said, hey, Dad, hey, listen, you know what? You know those firecrackers that go boom, boom, boom? I'd like some of those. I'd like you to give me some of those to play with. A good father would not give his 5 or 6-year-olds a bundle of I know I'm probably stepping on some toes here this morning, but a good father would not give some dynamite, little pieces of dynamite, right, to a 5 or 6-year-old. You just wouldn't do that, right? But that doesn't mean the 5 or 6-year-old doesn't want the little pieces of dynamite. As a child, and I did this when I was a kid, and I believe probably many of you did this as well. Even though our parents told us no, we found a way, right? We found a way to get what we wanted. And I don't know about you, but I know from my own life, it never ended well. It just never ended well. And one of the things about this Father we have in heaven is that there is this, this default switch, this thing that says we can ask him for anything we want. He's giving us permission to do that. Ask for anything you want. But as your good Father, I know what's best for you. And I'm not going to give you something. I'm not going to give you a snake if you're asking for fish. I'm not going to give you a stone if you're asking for bread. I'm going to give, you know, what is good for you. So what is it that we are actually saying when we say, give us this day our daily bread? I want to suggest to us this morning that it is far more than just asking for food on our tables. This is an invitation from God to be involved, from God and for God, to be involved in what we would consider the tiniest practical matters of our lives. It is really a plea for provision concerning everything for our lives. And I'll explain that in just a minute. The daily bread that is referenced here does include food on our tables, but it's much more than Strowman's and Salem hot dogs. When we say, give us this day our daily bread, we are not simply praying for food upon our tables. Now, here's why I know that. When the idea of bread is put forward in Scripture, it is not seen simply in terms of food. It's seen in terms of sustenance. That which meets my needs and supplies nourishment to my life, right? Sustenance has to do with maintaining the existence of something or someone. So when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, He wasn't wanting us to see him as a package of Strowman sliced bread. When he said, I am the bread of life, what he was saying was, I am the one who has everything you need to sustain you, body, soul, and spirit. I am your sustenance. I am that which will keep you alive. I am that which will make you alive and keep you alive. It's not just about flour and dough. When Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work, he wasn't talking about food in terms of ham and eggs. What he was saying was that I find doing what the Father has sent me to do incredibly fulfilling, incredibly nourishing, incredibly strengthening as I go about doing what he's called me to do. So when we pray the words daily bread, we are not referring so much just to calories for our body. We are asking God to provide for everything we need to sustain us. Give us this day our daily bread. We're praying for whatever it's going to take today for my body to be sustained, whatever it's going to take today for my soul to be sustained, whatever it's going to take today for my spirit to be sustained, Lord, I'm asking that from you. Give us today our daily bread. Give me what I need. Now, that may include stuff. You know what I'm saying? That may include a roof over our head, a car to drive to get to work. It provides all of that, but it also provides peace and joy and encouragement and all those kinds of things as well. Give us this day our daily bread. I believe what Jesus was trying to teach his disciples and giving them this portion of that prayer was a way of living, a lifestyle, if you will, that I'm going to call, I've called it right here, daily bread living. And if we are going to pray this prayer with understanding, it is going to lead us to live in a certain way. If we pray this prayer the way Jesus meant us to pray it, it will most certainly affect every portion of our life. So, when we say, give us this day our daily bread, what does that entail? What does that mean? What is the big part of all of that? And that's what I want to look at for a moment here this morning. I've put down four ways that daily bread living affects our lives. Four ways daily bread living affects our lives. Number one, it affects our degree of gratitude. It affects our degree of gratitude. This prayer directly and indirectly teaches us that we are to go to God for everything we need. But it clearly implies that everything we currently have is from God. I got to say that all again. This prayer teaches us to go to God for everything that we need. So if we're in the habit of going to God, spending time in the provision room and talking to Him about everything that we need, you quickly come to the place of realizing that everything you have is an answer from Him. Does that make sense? He's answering a prayer so that everything you have is coming from Him. That means the clothes that I wear. That means the food that I eat, the relationships that I have. Because one of your needs might be, Lord, I need a close friend. So God arranges it so that you have some friendship in your life and you realize, God, that you put that person in my life so that that part of my need is fulfilled, right? Yes? No? Okay. So I realize that friend that you've put beside me, that's a gift from you. Those relationships are a gift from you. I see me being here at this church and having relationship with you as a gift from God. It's a gift from God. The job that I have, the mind that I have, the peace of mind that I have, the very breath that I breathe, it all comes from Him, from my Father in heaven. In the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10, it says this, "When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given to you." So when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're not simply asking for more stuff. It's also an admission and a recognition that He has provided, already done a great job of providing for my needs. Now, when that happens, when you realize that, thankfulness should begin to rise in your soul. You know, you realize how much God my Father has taken care of me. All of a sudden, there's a gratitude there that says, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the good land that you have brought me into. I want to talk to you a moment about this guy by the name of Hamilton Jordan. Hamilton Jordan was a chief of staff for President Jimmy Carter during the 70s. And he wrote a book entitled, No Such Thing as a Bad Day. Now, this guy was married. He had three children. But before the age of 50, he was diagnosed with terminal cancer. So he wrote this book entitled, There's No Such Thing as a Bad Day. Now, when somebody was interviewing him about the book that he wrote, he was asked about where he got the title. Mr. Jordan said that when you've been told that you only have a number of days left to live, every day becomes precious, and you don't have time to have a bad day. There are no such things as bad days. He said, since you know you won't be here long, you simply don't have time to focus on the negative. You take everything that you're given in a particular day as special and nothing for granted. And ultimately, you are grateful for each day you are given. When I read that, I thought to myself, I thought, how different that is from the way most of us live. You see, most of us live with the notion that we're going to be here for a long time so we can afford to have bad days. But if you look at life and you live it daily, if you're taking it really one day at a time, like this guy was taking it, there should be no such thing as a bad day. Because you're taking everything that's coming at you that day, and even some of the negative stuff. This guy, when I read this article, he said it wasn't like everything good happened. There was bad stuff that happened too, but even the bad stuff was seen through the lenses of, I'm thankful for this day you've given me. So when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, it should cause us to be aware of the fact that it's a day-to-day relationship that he's calling us into. It should affect us in a way that our gratitude is on the rise. Our attitude of gratitude is on the rise. It's about being grateful to our Father in heaven for all that he has and will provide. Number two, it affects our degree of contentment. It should affect our degree of contentment. I want you to notice that it says bread and not cake. Give us this day our daily bread, not give us this day our daily cake. You see, most people, like the axiom says, most people want to have their cake and eat it too, right? That's how it works. But Jesus specifically didn't say cake. He said bread. Because this prayer is designed to focus on our needs, not our greeds. The Bible teaches us that God will supply all of our needs. And one of the ways that if you're a student of the scripture, that you should discover this is by studying the way that Jesus cooked. Do you know Jesus cooked? He prepared food for people. And if you study the way he went about doing it, you'll discover how he endeavors to care for us. Now, let me just say, before I talk about the way he served up dinner, let me just talk to you for a moment, because sometimes people can get all messed up about this. Listen, Jesus was not a downer. He was not he loved festivals. Our Lord and Savior loved festivals. He loved feasts. He did his first miracle at one. Remember that? Right? He loved those events. In fact, he loved them so much that he was actually labeled a glutton and a drunkard. That's our Savior. You don't label somebody a glutton and a drunkard if they're not hanging out at festivals and feasts. So it wasn't like Jesus would say, oh, no, there's too much stuff over there. I ain't going over there. Because, we just do bread. We just do water. We're not doing the abundant thing. We don't do abundance. Jesus had no problem with abundance. He loved abundance. But when he did the cooking, it wasn't quite like that. You may remember when it came time to feed a whole multitude of people, there was some bread and some fish. And Jesus, when he cooked that up, he cooked it up in such a way that there was enough to feed thousands of people. You remember that? Okay, you read the same Bible I do, right? Okay, so when he did the cooking, there was enough bread and fish to meet the people's needs. You may remember another time, this one isn't quite talked about as much, but another time after the resurrection, they were out fishing and he hadn't really had a one-on-one encounter with some of them yet, And he goes to the seashore there, and he tells them, he said, listen, how's the fishing going? Not so good. Put the boat on the other side of that. You remember that story? And the fish filled up, and Peter's running to get to shore to see Jesus again. And he gets there, and what does Jesus cook for them? Bread and fish. You know why? It was simple and nutritious, and it met their needs. When God does the cooking, that's what he's always said. He says, when I do the cooking, I'll supply all of your needs. I'll take care of your needs. And when we realize that, it should cause us to become more content with him simply supplying something nutritious that supplies our needs. You see, we live, when I say we, I mean our American culture lives in such a way that is contrary to this. You know, when we go on missions trips to third world countries, they have a much better understanding of this petition than you and I do. Because most of them are literally, not figuratively, literally living a day-to-day existence. Anyways, when we really realize how it is that God wants to supply us, it should cause us to learn to be content. Learn to be content with what he provides. We don't have to have lots of stuff. We're content with the bread and the fish that he's cooked up for us. Number three, it should affect our degree of confidence, our degree of gratitude. When we pray this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, it should cause us to look at the big picture and cause us to be thankful. It should cause us to see how God does provide faithfully. The Father takes care of our needs, and we should be content with that. But it should also cause us to, our level of confidence in him taking care of us to increase. If we truly look at how God has worked with people throughout history and over time, we should have a much easier time of trusting God than we do. Do you remember the history account of God getting his people out of bondage in Egypt? And he did some miraculous things to get them out of their situation. He brings them to a Red Sea, and he miraculously parts the Red Sea so that they can get on the other side. They get on the side. He does all that stuff. He takes care of them, right? He provides for some incredible things to take place in order to get them out of bondage and to a place of being free again. And then they get on that other side, and they're out there in the wilderness, and they begin to start complaining. Remember that? They start complaining that, and it wasn't necessarily that they weren't getting any food, because they were still alive. It was how it was happening and what they were getting that they were complaining about. It wasn't happening. And here's a key verse in all that, it tells you a lot what was going on in their heads and in their hearts. In verse 3 of chapter 16 of Exodus, it says, as they're complaining, it says that they used to sit around pots full of food and ate as much as they wanted. Now, they were working hard, making bricks and doing all that stuff, but when it came time for eating, apparently, they sat around pots full of food and ate all that they wanted. That's how we like it. Right? Don't we like it that way? Who supplied that way? The government supplied that way. And sadly to say, we don't find ourselves far from that today. There's a mindset. I'm talking about a mindset that says we want our freezers full. Sorry, I know I'll back up in just a minute. We want our freezers full. We want our pensions full. We want our Social Security full. We want our bank accounts full. We want our stocks full. That's how we've become accustomed to living. Now, was Jesus against planning ahead? Not at all. In fact, there's several parables he teaches about the importance of proper prior planning. But what he's saying here is, I have no problem with you planning ahead. What I have a problem with you is worrying ahead. He's trying to get us. Listen, if you don't have to go into the provision room, you're not going there. Remember, we're working our way around the rooms. If your freezer's full, you really need to go in and say, give us this day our daily bread. Wait a minute, I got a full freezer. What am I praying for? If your pension is full, if your Social Security is full, it's all taken care of. But Jesus is trying to teach his disciples, it's not about that. It's about seeing God supply your needs on a day-to-day basis. It's about the need to come into that room and say, God, I'm back again today because what you gave me yesterday. Remember when God had a plan for the people of Israel, he said, I'm going to take care of you guys, but here's how we're going to do it. Here's how we're going to do it. In the morning, you're going to wake up and the ground's going to be covered with this stuff. And I want you to go out. And he purposely said, don't take as much as you want. Take as much as you need. See, because we'd be out there, he knew us. Hey, God knew us. We'd be out there. And some people tried to do that. And all that they got that they didn't need, what happened? Spoil. Because God was teaching them the same thing Jesus is trying to teach us here in this prayer. He's saying, I want you to have to come back to me because I want to spend time with you talking about how I can provide for you today. I want you to look to me for help. Every day. Day to day. Day to day. We are so not used to that. I'm not saying we're not thankful every day. Most of us, I assume, in this room pray before we eat. God, thank you for our food. We so much appreciate, you know, and our kids used to pray, Lord, help it to be good. You know, help us to be good, right? So we're not saying we're not thankful for it, but I'm talking about this mindset. I'm talking about this thing where we're actually trusting God to supply every day what it is that we need. I'll tell you, I think it's part of the lackadaisicalness, the spiritual lackadaisicalness. It's all that stuff that we're battling with and wrestling with our culture. But I also think that we're going to come back to a place where that prayer is probably going to become much more relevant to us than what it is right now in that way. Give us this day our daily bread. Okay, one last one here. Number four. Oh, let me just say, God was faithful to provide, you know, this flakes in the morning and fowl at night. You know, he was taking care of his people. And I got to believe, I think you could say with me if you're in here this morning, that God's done a good job. Your Father has done a good job of caring for your needs. You may not have all your wants, but I'm telling you, I don't see anybody in here naked this morning. There's no nude people in here. And Listen. God, I came home yesterday, and I had gotten a picture while I was away of a scarecrow that my wife and my grandkids built while I was gone for a couple days. And I came home, I saw the picture, I said, man, that is an awesome scarecrow in our garden. It's got a dress shirt, it's got a pair of jeans, it's got a tie. The scarecrow. So I saw it with my own eyes. I'm like, Jody, you guys did an awesome job building that scarecrow. And I couldn't wait to tell the grandkids what a great job they did in the scarecrow. And Jody says to me, she said, well, after they finished building it, they looked at her and said, that looks just like Bumpa. And the reason it looked just like Bumpa was because there was a saggy spot right here in the shirt. So now I'm looking at the scarecrow. That does look like me. It's got the sag right in the right spot. Even our scarecrow has got plenty to eat. He's eating out of the garden. God has done, our Father has done an awesome job taking care of our needs. Awesome job. Thank you, God. Number four, if we really understand this for what Jesus is trying to say here, it should affect our degree of generosity. And here's what I mean by that. There are a couple little words in this thing that I think we don't maybe totally get every time we pray. But did you notice it doesn't say, give me my daily bread? Or you get what I'm trying to say. Anyways, it's not in the singular. Is that what I'm trying to say? It's in the plural. Did you ever think about that? It's not me going and simply saying, give me what I need. It's me going into that room and saying, Lord, would you give us what we need? Because Jesus, when you start only thinking about yourself and you're only focused in on what you need, you're losing sight of the big picture. And Jesus, when he takes care of us, when our Father provides for us, he doesn't do it just for us. Like those people in Israel didn't go out and, you know, the ones who had prayed just right and so on, they got some flakes, but the rest of them didn't. He took care of the whole community. He took care of a group of people. In fact, look at this. Let me see. No, I didn't do it. There's a verse. Let me read it to you. In 2 Corinthians 9:10, it says this. Listen now. Now he who supplies seed, this is talking about God, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. What's Paul saying there is that when God provides, he doesn't just provide for one. He provides for many. And when we go into this room, in this provision room to pray, we shouldn't be just thinking about ourselves. We should be thinking about all the people in the sphere of our relationships. And God saying, God, there's some things that I need, but there's some other things other people need. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Take care of not only our family, but take care of the families we relate with and know. Take care of your big family in the whole world. And when you provide for us, may we see it in the context of like, this isn't little my little bit that you've given to me. You've given this seed to me so that I can have the opportunity, more than what I need, so that I can share it with other people. When we understand this phrase, give us this day our daily bread, it should affect our degree of generosity. When we go into this room regularly and we're talking to God about the things that we need to sustain us, it should cause us to be more grateful than we've been. It should cause us to be more content than we have been. It should cause us to be more confident than we have been and more generous than we have been. And I'm convinced that when Jesus taught this prayer, that it was something all of these things are meant to be prayed and talked to God about every single day. Somebody a lot of times, and I'll get to it next week, and I don't want to shoot off my whole cannon now, but somebody, when we get talking to people in counseling about forgiveness, somebody, well, how often do I have to forgive somebody? And I say every day. Every single day. Because when Jesus taught this prayer, part of this phrase, give us this day our daily bread, it's meant for us to go and talk to him every day. Talk to him about him being our Father. Talk to him about, you know, talk to him about our praise and devotion and adoration for him. Talk to him about his kingdom coming. Talk to him about us letting go of some of the things that we're obsessed with and embracing what his will is for our lives. And talking to him about the things that we genuinely need in our life to sustain us and to make us effective as we go about serving him. Listen, I like I said a moment ago, I think there's coming a time when this phrase of the prayer, this petition of the prayer, is going to take on significance to us that maybe sitting here this morning, we just can't wrap our brains around. But we have a Father who wants to take care of us. We have a Father who invites us to come and ask for that which we need. And I just want to encourage anybody here this morning that maybe feels like you've been on the short end of the stick. I want you to do two things. I want you to think about, you know, when you interpret all that, is it really about your needs or your wants to start with? Or is it that maybe you haven't taken time out to go into this room and really talk to God about what you're, because the Father I know has abundantly taken care of us. Abundantly taken care of us. I want to pray this morning. I want to pray that God will meet all of your needs, but I want to pray that you will make time and find time to go in this room of provision. That you won't, you know, because your freezer's full, because this is taken care of, that you won't, you know, skip over this room and go to the next one or, you know, bypass it altogether. So you will make time out of your day. Make time out of your life to go in and become more grateful for the things he has supplied to you. You'll become more content with the things that you do have. Lord, Father, our Father in heaven. Some folks in this room this morning maybe didn't have a dad that took care of them very well, whether physically or spiritually or emotionally or whatever. But like those little kids in that little thing we're saying earlier to us this morning, you're a really good dad. Father in heaven, you are a really, really good dad. And all of us here, I think this morning, if we really took stock in life and where we're at, we could honestly say you have taken care of us. We are nourished and well fed. Some of the stuff isn't all that elaborate, but doesn't need to be, because it does the job. So Lord, please this morning accept our thanks, Father. Thank you for being such a good dad. Not just for the temporal stuff that enables us to do life here, but thank you for the freedom in our souls that we have, that prior to knowing you, we didn't. Thank you for the peace of mind that we have, just knowing you're there and in our lives and you've got our backs, Lord. Thank you for those kinds of provision as well. Lord, this morning as we pause in this provision room, I know there's here those here among us this morning that have needs. There's stuff that a job or a car that's because the other one broke. Just stuff that is needed by those here among us this morning. Heavenly Father, as they would bring their needs, as they would come and ask, Lord, I'm asking you to open heaven up over top of them, and they would see how good a Father you are to take care of them. And Lord, as you supply to us, and because you're so good at doing it, we usually have more than what we need. Help us to look around us and see where we can be used by you to be your hands and your feet to help supply someone else. That seed to the sower. Help us to be good sowers of your tremendous generosity towards us. On this Father's Day, we thank you for being such a great Father. Please help us not to forget it. And help us to be thankful for the flakes in the morning and the fowl at night. We so much appreciate you. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Listen, if you came with a need of some kind this morning and you would like some others to kind of stand in the gap with you about whatever that is, there'll be some folks up here to pray for you if you're in need of prayer this morning. God bless you. Go enjoy the rest of the Father's Day. Don't forget, guys, grab a candy bar before you leave. Lord bless you. Also, Scott just wanted me to remind everybody that is working with VBS that they're doing a quick meeting in the gym next door. VBS people, quick meeting in the gym next door. Thanks.